In. We're going to open this morning with a word of prayer. We have a little bit of a different setup this morning. Randy called in sick. If you can be praying for him, he's got a little bit of a pretty bad cold here. So be praying for Randy. And so I called Fred and asked him to lead us in worship this morning. So let's open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much for the opportunity to come before you, Lord, and to worship you. Lord, right now we invite your presence into this place, and we ask that you just fill this place with your love and with your power. Let us feel your mercy and your grace around us this morning, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning, everybody. As Doug had called me and had a chance to just kind of think about doing this morning, one of the thoughts that occurred to me was that sometimes when we come here on a Sunday morning, we're kind of waiting for God to show up. And the thought occurred to me that he's already here. And he's just waiting for us to show up. He's waiting for us to show up in that total focus on him. So I just ask you this morning to just think about the things that you're waiting on God to do in your life. And just capture this thought for a minute that maybe he's waiting for you. I'm told that there are words behind me, so you're welcome to sing. Please put a new song in our hearts, Lord, and let it be simple and sweet. Just the beautiful sound of your people, Lord, as we worship and bow at your feet. As we worship and bow at your feet. Let our voices be raised even higher, resolved not to hold back one thing. Let us empty ourselves of our burdens, Lord, and give all that we are to our King. And give all that we are to our King. For you, O Lord, you're so good, always ready to forgive. You're a God full of mercy, compassion, and grace. And for you alone we live. For you, O Lord, we live. Let our song be filled with thanksgiving as your light shines upon us this day. Hearts filled with the joy of the Lord our God as we picture the smile on your face. As we picture the smile on your face. Let us sing of your power and glory. Let us sing of your kindness and love. Overwhelmed by your beauty and blessings to us, lifting hands to the heavens above. Lifting hands to the heavens above. For you, O Lord, you're so good, always ready to forgive. You're a God full of mercy, compassion, and grace. And for you alone we live, for you, oh Lord, we live. From the beginning of time, you have known us. From the beginning, you called us your own. Now here we are praising your name, oh Lord, giving thanks for the love you have shown. Simple and sweet, just the beautiful sound of your people, Lord, as we worship and bow at your feet, as we worship and bow at your feet. Let our voices be raised even higher, resolved not to hold back one thing. Let us empty ourselves of our burdens, Lord. Give all that we are to our King, and give all that we are to our King. For you, oh Lord, you're so good, always ready to forgive. You're a God full of mercy, compassion, and grace, and for you alone we live. Oh Lord, we live for you, oh Lord, we live. Oh, praise God. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Fred. Let's take a few moments right now and greet each other, shake a few hands, give a few hugs, tell each other how happy you are to see each other here this morning.
sorry. Oh, what do I do?
Hello?
Is it me? Yeah, it's me. I said, Jeffrey, is it me? Am I doing something? Forward. Okay, so that's what I need to do. Away from the speakers. Get step away from the speakers, ma'am. Thank you, Carl. So it really was me, huh? I was causing the problems. Sorry about your ears. That was my fault. I apologize. I'll be praying for healing. In fact, later we're going to be having the healing ministry over there. In your bulletins is the announcements. And I'm going to go over a couple. You can read through them. There's a lot happening here at Pathway, and we have that in there to inform you what's going on. We have a lot of things for different ages and for men, women, you, children, you know. So, but one thing I want to point out, there's a couple things coming up with the women's ministry. And the one is next Saturday on the 27th, we're going to have the women's breakfast again. This time it's going to be potluck style. So we have a sign-up sheet over there. We would appreciate if you would sign up, something that you like and enjoy and want to bring and share with about six people. We would really appreciate it. We have a very special lady from our church that will be speaking that day and sharing, and that is Evelyn. So it'll be a really nice morning. We have a blessed time, and I hope if you don't know where the urgent care meeting room is, just go ahead and ask me, and I will let you know, or other women. A lot of us know where that is. 9 to 11. And then Women's Walking Ministry starts on March 6th, Saturday, March 6th. We have an awesome board that Tammy Napua made for us. And then we have some flyers. Children are welcome to come. It's going to be at 9 o'clock. We're going to meet. And so the information of the park and the location and directions is all there on that board. And then we have the flyers. Hand it out to a friend and stuff if you don't. And this is a great opportunity, not only the women's breakfast, but the walking, to bring a friend and a friend with children, as long as they're like old enough where they can be supervised. But we'll have the walking at different paces, and it's a great time of fellowship, but also for us ladies to encourage each other, not only in our spiritual walk with the Lord, but in our physical walk, so that the bodies that God's given us will help to be healthy and strong, so that we can continue to serve the Lord. But I just want to emphasize, one Saturday won't do it. But it still is a great start, okay, guys? It is a start. So, and we just want to encourage you also to do that on your own. But it is awesome time for us to get together. And even if you're not like well enough to walk, but you want to just go there for fellowship, then you can stay in a gathering area. There's different places throughout the park you can sit and just enjoy and be in the presence of us as we pray and join together before we go out and then afterwards. So, and then please just look at the other events that are coming and the Pathway happenings. Thank you.
We're going to enter into our ministry of prayer time right now. Let's all stand together as we prepare to worship the Lord together some more. We're going to have our prayer teams over available here on your left. For anybody who needs prayer for anything at all, just go lay it before the King. You know, lay it down before God. Just let him deal with the issues that are on your mind. And it's funny, we're chapter 3 of God Chasers. We've been talking about God's manifest presence. And there's a song that Fred here has about being in God's presence. And I was trying to figure out if I should call him and where I could work it into the service. And I couldn't find a place for it. And then God said, no, Fred's got to do this song. So he got Randy sick. And so Fred's so Fred's going to open our ministry of prayer with this song. The words are going to be behind him. Sing along and just let's just revel in being in God's presence this morning. All right, let's worship together.
Thank you. Praise God. I was talking with my good friend, Mr. Moser, earlier this morning. And we were talking about how God has a way that we've touched on in some of the readings we've done in the last 3 weeks about how to get ushered into his presence. Because as we've talked about not settling for the crumbs, but really going for the full loaf, it requires that we actually come right into the Holy of Holies. And there are just certain steps that we take to get there. And one of them is to just simply, it's really just repentance and asking God for forgiveness for anything. The big things, the small things, the times when we just kind of take God for granted. So I just ask you, just as you're standing there, just think about that. What do I need to ask you for, God, for forgiveness? And who do I need to forgive? It says that we come to his gates with thanksgiving. Think about the things that you want to thank him for. And then we enter his courts with praise. And slowly but surely, we work our way right into the throne room of God. To be in your presence, your presence, oh Lord, that's where we want to be. To be in your presence, oh Lord, that's where we want to be. To witness your glory, oh Lord, that's what we want to see. To witness your glory, oh Lord, that's what we want to see. Precious Lamb, slain in our place, raised again, our fountain of grace. Now we stand alive and set free, and we live for your majesty, oh Lord. To be in your presence, your presence, oh Lord, that's where we want to be. To be in your presence, oh Lord, that's where we want to be. Our lives laid before you, before you. Oh Lord, that's how we want to live. Our lives lay before you, oh Lord, that's what we want to give. Precious Lamb, slain in our place, raised again, our fountain of grace. Now we stand alive and set free, and we live for your majesty, oh Lord. Oh Lamb, risen Son of God. To
in your presence, your presence, oh Lord. That's where we want to be in your presence, your presence, oh Lord. That's where we want to be. To witness your glory, oh Lord. That's what we want to see. To witness your glory, oh Lord. That's what we want to see. Slain in our place, raised again. Our fountain of grace, now we stand alive and set free. And we live for your majesty, oh Lord. Your presence, oh Lord, that's where we want to be in your presence, oh Lord, that's where we want to be. Our lives lay before you. Before you, oh Lord, that's how we want to live. Our lives lay before you, oh Lord, that's what we want to give. Precious Lamb. Slain in our place, raised again. Our fountain of grace, now we stand alive and set free. And we live for your majesty, oh Lord. Oh, Lamb, risen Son of God. To be in your presence. Your presence, oh Lord, that's where we want to be. Oh, come, Lord. Bring us there, Lord. Almighty God, there is none like you. I worship you, O Prince of Peace. This is what I long to do. I give you praise. My righteousness, Almighty God, there is none like you. And Lord, together, Lord, together, we worship you, Almighty God. There is none like you. We worship you, O Prince of Peace. This is what we long to do. We praise your name, for you are our righteousness. We worship you, Almighty God. There is none like you. Song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within from the way things appear. You're looking into our hearts. We're coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. We're sorry, Lord, for the thing we've made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. We're coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. We're sorry, Lord, for the thing we've made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. We worship you, Almighty God. There is none like you. We worship you, O Prince of Peace. This is what we long to do. We give you praise, righteousness. We worship you, Almighty God. There is none like you. Oh, praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Lord says, you'll seek me and find me if you seek me with all your heart. Do you want more of him? Lord Jesus, I thank you so much for your presence here today. We can't do this without you. It's worthless without you. In your precious name, amen. Go ahead and be seated. Thank you, Fred. It's terrific. We're going to continue to worship the Lord right now with his tithes and our offerings. Before we do that, though, Barbara Alstrom, whose birthday it is today, by the way. So I'll say happy birthday, Barbara. Am I echoing? I'm echoing pretty good here. Barbara came to me last week and asked if she could share some news about her family. And so I'm asking her to, the last Sunday service was running a little long with the awesome worship time that we had last week. So I asked her if she could share this week instead. So tell us what's going on, Barbara.
Well, I have 7 kids and quite a bit grandkids and great-grandkids. But my youngest daughter, she's an alcoholic and she's in rehab and in a place where they help her, and she's been sober for 8 months now.
Wow.
And that's due to a lot of prayers. I go to Bible study either on Monday nights or Thursday mornings whenever I have time off from work. And with all the prayers that the ladies have there, it makes it hard, easier for me with that, because without the prayers, I wouldn't have been able to go on. Because she's my youngest daughter, and she's, like I said, she's been an alcoholic for a long time, and we've been praying for her health. And I told her, if you don't do get help, I'm going to lose you. I got a picture of her little girl last a week ago, and also there was a little letter in there, and she wants to thank everybody for all the prayers that they've been putting out for her, and I just thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Barbara. She's been sober for 9 months, is that what you said?
8
months. 8 months. Awesome. God is good. So let's worship the Lord right now with his tithes and our offerings. Let's say a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for these tithes and offerings that you have blessed us with so much, Lord. We just want to give a little bit back to you. So right now I pray that you take these tithes and offerings and bless them, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Go ahead, ushers. So, we are back on our God Chasers series. We took a little break last week for Valentine's Day so that Dick and Lynn Moser could share a special message with us. Thank you, guys. That was awesome last week. Really appreciate that. This week, we are back into our God Chasers series, and there's a verse that we've been memorizing as a congregation through this series. You guys remember what it is? I just mentioned it a few minutes ago after the ministry of prayer. Do you guys remember this? Jeremiah 29:13. You will seek me and find me if you seek me with all your heart. Let's put it on the, yeah. So let's all say it together. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Yes. So this is, it's so important to have your heart prepared to really seek him, be emptied out of all the junk in your life, right? So that you could fill it up with God's stuff, right?
but the Holy Spirit. You know, if the Holy Spirit's coming in and there's nowhere to go because your life is so clogged with stuff from the world, then he has nowhere to go. He has nowhere to move, right? It's kind of a gross analogy, but my family's been fighting off colds for a couple of weeks now. You know, and when your sinuses get congested, right, the air has trouble getting in and out, right? You have trouble breathing and you're blowing your nose and it's just stuffed with snot. And when your head is stuffed with snot, there's nowhere for the air to flow, right? Am I going too far, Sandy? Yeah. Okay. Sandy's shaking her head. Same thing. If you're going to be seeking the Lord with all your heart, you got to empty out your heart of all the junk from the world that's in there so the Holy Spirit can get in there and really move around and shake things up and really move, right? That's what it's about. So chapter 3 of the God Chasers book, we've been talking about God's manifest presence. If you started to read the chapter already in preparation for this week's small groups, then you know that Tommy Tenney talks about a difference between the omnipresence of God and the manifest presence of God. And the omnipresence of God, just to give you kind of a little overview, the omnipresence of God is the omni, the prefix omni is Latin. It means all. And there are three omni qualities of God. Okay, this is my minor degree in Bible from Biola University coming into play here. So, there's three omni qualities of God. God is omniscient, he's omnipotent, and he's omnipresent. Omniscient, scient means knowledge. Omni means all. So when we say God is omniscient, we're saying God is all-knowing. He knows everything. He would kick your butt in Trivial Pursuit. He knows it all. Any question you could ask him, he knows it all. So God is all-knowing. He's omniscient. God is also omnipotent. Potent means power. So God is all-powerful. You know that old joke that the atheists throw out about can God make a boulder so big that he can't lift it? You know, that's a trick question because either he can't make a boulder that big, which means he's not all-powerful, or he can't lift that boulder, which means he's not all-powerful. So the question doesn't count, but that's the idea of God being all-powerful. There is no situation that you are going through in your life that is too big for God to handle. He is all-powerful. He knows it all. He does it all. And God is omnipresent. God is everywhere. There is nowhere that you are where God is not. When you are in your car alone driving by yourself and somebody cuts you off in the freeway and you're cussing them out, yeah, God's there. When you are in a dry spell in your spiritual life and you feel like God is nowhere to be found, God is there. When you're hurting so bad and you feel like you just need a hug, you just need a spiritual hug. You need to know that somebody loves you. You're hurting so much. God is there. He's everywhere. He's omnipresent. Now, what I don't think I agree with is Tommy Tenney's analogy from the book about God being in everything and God being that part of the nucleus of an atom that the scientists can't identify. I don't know if I'd go that far. That sounds a little bit New Agey to me to say God is everything. You know, that sounds like it's going a little bit too far. But God is everywhere. He's omnipresent. There's nowhere you can go where God is not. But there's a difference between the omnipresence of God and the manifest presence of God. The manifest presence of God is a greater concentration of God than normal. For instance, in Exodus, the Israelites, when they were coming out of Egypt. God was leading them with a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night, right? That was God's manifest presence. It was a greater concentration of God in a place than is normal. In Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit filled the early church and tongues of fire appeared and they were all speaking in tongues, that was the manifest presence of God. Greater concentration of God than is normal. I was told by 3 or 4 people last Sunday here, when they walked into the building, they almost fell over because the presence of God was so heavy in this room. That was the beginning of the manifest presence of God. And there's so much more. There is so much more than what we've been experiencing. This is only the beginning, folks. Manifest presence of God. This isn't a perfect illustration, but it's like a balloon, right? There's air in this room. There's air all around this balloon. There's air inside the balloon right now, right? It's not a vacuum. But if you blow the balloon up, okay, when you blow the balloon up, the reason that the balloon expands is because the pressure inside the balloon, the air inside the balloon, is a greater concentration of air than is outside the balloon. There's more pounds per square inch in there. This is my science education coming into play. So the air inside the balloon is a greater concentration than the air outside the balloon, and so the balloon expands. That's kind of like what the manifest presence of God is, a greater concentration of God and his power and his love and his presence. And you don't want to let it go. Right? You want to hang on to it. But in our study guides this week, we are looking at a few examples from Scripture of when God not just showed up, but when God showed up with power and with authority and with majesty. Examples from Scripture when God really showed up in his manifest presence. And I want to look at one of those examples this morning from Acts chapter 9, if you want to turn there in your Bible. This is Saul. Saul later became the Apostle Paul, who was one of the greatest missionaries in history. But before he was Paul, he was a man named Saul, who was a Pharisee, was one of the religious leaders of the time, and he did not like this church thing that was going on. He did not like these people who called themselves Christians and Christ followers, and he was doing everything in his power to stop the church from growing. So he was traveling around the area, going to different towns and throwing people who called themselves Christians in prison, and he was trying to get them killed. He was there at the stoning of Stephen, one of the early apostles, and this guy was not a nice boy. He was doing everything he could to stop the church. And then God showed up and changed him forever. God showed up in his manifest presence in Acts chapter 9. Let's look at this. In verse 1, it says, "Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way," which was what they called the church, "whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, 'Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?' 'Who are you, Lord?' Saul asked. 'I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting,' he replied. 'Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do.' The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound, but did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. For 3 days he was blind and did not eat or drink anything." And it goes on to say that there was
church leader there in Damascus named Ananias, and God appeared to him and said, you need to go and heal Saul and bring him into the church. And he did what God asked him to do, and Saul then became Paul, one of the greatest missionaries in history. God showed up in his manifest presence. And there's two things I want you to write down on your note sheet about two things that God's manifest presence does for us. First thing is that God's manifest presence leads to repentance. Saul could not go back to the way he was after God showed up in his life. His encounter with the manifest presence of God changed him forever, and he knew that he had to get right with God. And God transformed him into the greatest missionary in church history. Manifest presence of God leads to repentance. Sin cannot stand in the face of God. Sin cannot be in the presence of God because God is holy. It's like Adam and Eve in Genesis. When they ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they couldn't be in God's presence because they knew then that they were not just because they were naked, but they knew that they had sin now. They knew they weren't perfect, and so they hid from God. Because they couldn't be in his presence. God was walking through the garden. Can you imagine that? Adam and Eve had it so good. God came down in physical form and walked through the Garden of Eden with them. Just having chats. That's amazing. And they blew it. And they knew that sin could not exist in the presence of God. So they hid. When God shows up in his manifest presence, we become keenly aware of our imperfections. And we've got to get those out on the table, get them out of our lives, out of our life so that God can fill us up. Because our sin cannot coexist with God's presence. Got to get right. God's manifest presence leads to repentance. Not just leads to, it demands. God's manifest presence demands repentance. There's a story in chapter 3 about a pastor of a church who God was really moving in that church, and his presence was there in the building, and he had a brother-in-law who was an atheist. And for some reason, the guy didn't even know why, his brother-in-law calls him out of the blue and says, hey, can I come for a visit and spend the night? And the pastor says, sure. It never happened before. So, brother-in-law shows up. They pick him up at the airport, and there's just kind of awkward silences in the car on the way because they don't really have much in common, an atheist and a pastor, right? There's not a whole lot to talk about. The weather takes about 10 seconds to talk about, and then you're done, you know? So there's these awkward silences in the car, and they drive past the church, and the pastor says, hey, do you want to go in and see? Is he where I work? You know, we've done some renovations recently, and yeah, I want to show you what it's like. And the guy surprisingly says, yeah, okay. And so they get out of the car, and they walk to the building and open the door, and that atheist brother-in-law takes one step inside the building. He's halfway in the door, and he just falls flat on the floor. He falls flat on the floor, and he starts sobbing, and he says, I don't know what's happening, but I have to get right with God. Tell me what I have to do to get right with God. Sin cannot coexist with the presence of God. God's manifest presence demands repentance. God's manifest presence also, point two, God's manifest presence leads to empowerment. You'll be empowered by God to accomplish amazing things when God's manifest presence is there in your life. Saul was transformed completely by his encounter with God. And it says that as soon as he had recovered from being healed and taken some food, he went down to the tabernacle and started debating with the church leaders, with the religious leaders there. Because he had been so transformed so immediately by God's presence in his life. And he was able to use his education as a Pharisee and his knowledge of the scriptures and all that in order to just go and start debating Jesus, whether he was the Son of God, with the religious leaders. And it says the Christians there were amazed at this transformation. And the early church, they had seen a lot of cool stuff. They had seen a lot of miracles. And this was probably the greatest one they'd seen, was this man, just complete 180. This man who was hunting down the church, just transformed completely. He went on to change his name to Paul and went on to become a missionary and save thousands of people. The Holy Spirit's presence in our lives enables us to accomplish things which would be impossible on our own. Right? I'm telling you something. When I was asked to become senior pastor of this church, I just kind of, first time Pastor Johnny mentioned it, I just kind of laughed at him. And then as I was praying about it and thinking about it, I said, God, tell you what, I cannot do this unless you show up. So if you show up, I'll do it. Because there's no way I can do it on my own. Working a full-time job outside of the church. I'm taking care of my family. And there's no way, God, if you're not a part of this, there's no way I can do it. I will fail. And I encourage you, you know, follow my example in this, if nothing else. Be willing to say to God, I will do what you say. If you come along with me, if you are there, I will do whatever you ask me to do. Because God's presence, God's manifest presence, is so powerful that it can accomplish things that you can't. You know, the reason for God's manifest presence is not so that you can get a warm, fuzzy feeling in your chest and go home and say, oh, church was great today. That's not the purpose of God's manifest presence. When God's manifest presence shows up, the purpose is to lead people to him and to meet people's needs. If you look at the miracles through Scripture, you know, Jesus' miracles, feeding the 5,000. He had compassion on people, and he performed a miracle to meet their needs, right? The healings that Jesus did, when he healed people, it was to touch their lives and meet their needs. The resurrection, greatest miracle of all time, right? Was to save people so they could be in heaven with him forever. The Holy Spirit, when he came on Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, God's manifest presence was there to reach people, to save them. When he showed up for Paul here in Acts chapter 9, it was so that Paul would be transformed, to reach Paul and to save Paul so that he could then save thousands of others. When God's manifest presence appears, it's to reach people and to meet people's needs. It's not for your warm, fuzzy feeling. Oh, it felt so good. That's just kind of a side effect. And it's great. But the reason why he shows up is to reach people and to meet people's needs. So how do we ask God to come in his manifest presence? How do we ask him? How do we reach him for that? One thing Tommy Tenney does say in the book and in the video is that worship is what turns God's face towards us. Right? When we're worshiping Him, we are turning God's face towards us. We're letting God know, we want you to notice us. We want your presence. We're inviting Him in when we're worshiping Him. That's why we've been doing some of these extended worship times the past few weeks. We did an hour of worship last week, which was, boy, in some churches is nothing. But for us, is pretty good. You know, that's, we're inviting God's presence. We're turning His face towards us. And at the same time, the reason why we have prayer teams over here during our ministry of prayer worship time is because not only do we need to turn God's face towards us, but like Fred mentioned before in the opening of the service today, we need to turn our faces towards God. We need to get our distractions put aside and out of the way so that we can turn our faces to God. In my home, it gets pretty hectic sometimes, pretty crazy. You know, I'm working 40 hours a week in a secular job, and I come home from that job, and I have church things to do, and I have bills to pay, and I have, you know, I have so much to do. You know, I'm running around all the time. And my kids sometimes, they just say, "Dad, hold me. Sit with me on the couch. Watch this show with me. You know, come just sit and hold me." And sometimes it's hard. Sometimes I just have to take the distractions, and put them aside, and just hold my kids. You know? Just let them sit on my lap and look into their eyes. And it's awesome. I love that. I love being a dad. But sometimes with God, we need to put our distractions aside and just go sit on His lap. And just gaze into His eyes. Worship turns His face towards us. And prayer turns our face towards Him. There's a song that Tommy Tenney mentioned in the video this week. Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. And it's been on my heart and on my mind all week. And I want to sing it together. Just kind of get our focus where it needs to be. Turn our eyes back to Jesus. Put your distractions aside. Just turn your eyes upon Jesus.
Turn your eyes upon Jesus, full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely. Strong.
So how do we ask for his manifest presence? We got to turn his face towards us. We got to turn our face towards him. We got to wait and see what happens. Watch God move. Because he will. Go ahead and be seated. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your presence with us, Lord. We want more. We want more of you, Lord. We want your presence to be so thick in this place that people walk in those doors and they just can't even move because your presence is so powerful and so thick and they have to get right with you. We want people to be so convicted by the Holy Spirit of their sin that they cannot be in your presence without confessing it all, getting their lives cleaned up and holy, be in your presence. And Lord, if we're going to be a church that is used by you, Lord, we need your manifest presence here to empower us to accomplish your perfect will in this imperfect world. So we ask for that, Father. Send us your manifest presence. Change us, transform us, empower us. Jesus' name. Amen.
Let we stand to our feet. Your presence, your presence, oh Lord, that's where we want to be in your presence, your presence, oh Lord, that's where we want to be. Witness your glory, oh Lord, that's what we want to see, to witness your glory, oh Lord, that's what we want to see. Precious Lamb, slain in our place, raised again, our fountain of grace, now we stand alive and set free, and we live for your majesty. Your presence, oh Lord, that's where we want to be in your presence, oh Lord, that's where we want to be, our lives laid before you, oh Lord, that's how we want to live, to be in your presence, your presence, oh Lord, that's where we want to be.
God is good, isn't he? I love being in his presence. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. You're dismissed.